Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, I chat with Brett Marshall about his incredible journey of faith and personal transformation. Brett opens up about his struggles with emotional expression and sexual sin, and how these challenges impacted his relationships, especially with his wife, Tina. He shares the pivotal moments that led to his healing, including a transformative intensive experience through a past partnership between Be Broken and the Navigators Ministry Organization. Brett highlights the ABCs of emotional health: acceptance, belonging, and connection. Brett also emphasizes the need for personal vulnerability, authentic connections, and creating safe spaces for men to share their full stories. His own story is an incredible reminder of the transformative power of God's presence in our lives. Learn more about Brett on his YouTube channel, which is at Why Live Today. So if you go to youtube.com/@Why Live Today. For additional resources, visit bebroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, friends, I'm going to invite you to rate and review the podcast afterwards so that you can help others to find it. Now, let's dive into Brett's story and the wisdom that he shares to experience real freedom in Christ. Well, all right, we've got Brett Marshall with us. Brett, welcome to the program.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, before we actually started recording, you and I were trying to figure out exactly how long ago it had been that we had met. Our ministry had come and done some work with the Navigators up in Colorado Springs at the headquarters, and we'd basically taken our 3-day intensive Gateway to Freedom and was training and doing it there with the collegiate interns. And you happened to be one of the staffers that was there that was helping facilitate some of the breakout groups that we would do, the small breakout groups. And before we get into kind of your story and what we wanted to talk about here, I'd love to hear kind of what that experience was like for you, maybe how that was even part of your own transformation journey and ministry and how you engage ministry with men especially.
Yeah, it was tremendous in the sense that apart from anything else, I think telling your story is one of the most powerful avenues for God to work in terms of your heart, your mind, your whole life. It can transform you. And so for me, I guess it was two things. One would be just sharing my story. The more I was able to share my story, the more healing, the more love that I could experience. And I'll get into this more probably later, but the idea of being known became such a central part of my life with that experience, but a variety of experiences. And I think with that, environments where you can let your guard come down and you can be more fully yourself with others, and then obviously with God too, I think is critical in terms of growth, journey, and experiencing love, and then also safety as well, trust as well. Mm-hmm. So that's twofold. I just wanted to finish that thought. So twofold. So one, in terms of my own journey, but also I saw the benefits for the men that I worked with too, as they shared, they experienced transformation as well, and they could be known, fully loved, and accepted where they were, and grow.
And that's one of the beautiful things we see in those intensives that we do is for a lot of guys, it's the first time they've really been in an environment that they can honestly say, I feel safe enough to share my whole story. Like the ugly parts, the embarrassing parts, the hurtful parts. And I think we've got to just continue to do better and better jobs as Christians, as the body of Christ, to create those environments where real healing and transformation can take place. And we'll, I think, eventually get there in your story also in terms of what you're doing to create some of those kind of spaces, especially for men to really, really engage deeply in their relationship with Christ. So why don't we get to know Brett? Why don't you kind of share with us your story?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't know, especially if you just first meet me, I'm actually half Mexican. So my mom is Mexican. Her dad was born in Michoacán, Mexico. And where she's Mexican, my dad is like European mixture of all kinds of stuff. And for me, I think the theme of my journey, as I'm even thinking about it now, is the idea of being known. So this isn't bad, but I grew up very successful from a world's perspective, in the sense of I did really well in sports, football, baseball, soccer, did well in school, attended an Ivy League college. So my journey was one where I had two selves. So when I was a child, for those out there who are introverts, shout out to the introverts out there. I'm a strong introvert. So is my wife as well. And it's really easy, or at least it was easy for me, to retreat inwards. So I presented one idea of myself over here, the successful kind of worldly self. And a lot of times I like to talk about there's a lot more than this, but generally with men, there's three emotions: mad, glad, and sad. And for me, it was only glad really growing up. And what I thought that was, I thought that was fine, but actually it was a huge problem because, as you know, we are people with all kinds of emotions. And so a better part of my life was learning how to express those things. But at least starting with my childhood, I did not know how to really express those things. So I continued to retreat inward. So then this part that I presented to the world was always out there. And this other part was always kind of retreating and then becoming more inward. And my close friends would know more about me. But generally speaking, even they wouldn't know the full story. So as a child, there was a lot of wonderful things. I don't want to downplay this in the sense that I had a lot of wonderful experiences, but in terms of my heart and being known, that was not happening. It was hindered over time. So as I then moved into high school and then into college, I was beginning to develop a fractured life to where I had this life over here that I kept hidden, and a lot of what was involved with that were idols. And we can talk about idols more going forward, but one of the main idols, I think, especially for men, but for all people, is our sexual sin or sexual idols, in the sense that we take something that God intended to be really healthy and we turn it into something that is not healthy. And we can unpack that as much as you want, but at least for me, that's where I was looking for life. That's where I was looking for the things that we long for, which are, you know, I think of the ABCs: acceptance, belonging, connection. Our heart's thirst for those sorts of things. And at least for me, I was going to that broken cistern, but it wasn't giving me what I wanted, and I wanted more and more of that. And then on the other side, I was performing, doing well, and all that sort of thing. So that's up kind of through my childhood in a general overview. And then I can get to my 20s and 30s. And wow.
So yeah, before we jump to Yeah, before we jump to 20s and 30s, I want to also know what was going on in your family growing up as it relates to faith or knowing Jesus, or where was God in your story, if at all, at this point in your life?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So when I think of my family, and of course, I want to honor my parents as I talk about them and my brother too. And I think there's a place to really own my own faults within the family of origin. But I think that I heard this recently, so I'm just going to share it with you and those who are listening. And I felt like it was super helpful. And I think it comes from, and I could be wrong, but Mark Laser or Lasser, I'm not sure Laser, how to pronounce his name. Yeah, so Mark Laser. It's the idea of the ampersand. So by that, you know, we have this, I have this statement, and I think a lot of us make this statement where it's like, my parents did the best possible job they could, you know, and then you can even leave it there. Or you can say, my parents did the best possible job they could, and they were good parents. But, and then you go off on this long kind of negative sort of rabbit trail. The ampersand is, my parents did the best job they could, and I struggled in these areas. So you're getting a full picture. None of us are perfect. I'm a parent and we mess up, we make mistakes. So what I was going to share next is just some of the things that I felt like, and I believe were some of the challenges growing up in my childhood. But first, and you can ask me about this, but first I really want to make a point that my parents were wonderful. My dad was super affectionate. My mom's this amazing servant with this wonderful capacity just to love and help people. And my dad spent countless hours, you know, with me with sports and wonderful experiences. But then there's the and part of things that didn't happen that needed to happen when I was growing up.
Sure. And so what did that look like in terms of faith and Jesus? Like when did you first know of God or know of Christ in your life?
Yeah. So my parents are believers, and they were believers when I was, I guess they became believers right around the time I was born in the 70s, dating myself here. But yeah, so they came to faith. I grew up as a Christian, but what I would say is that it was, a bit more of a nominal Christian. I shout out to my dad. He put out a Bible verse every morning and a note for my mom every morning, which was just such a wonderful foundation of value for the Bible and for God's word. But we didn't attend church all the time, and there were other focuses, and I would say that kind of rolls into my story more.
Yeah, okay. So then you've got this sort of divided double life that's going on in your teenage years where, hey, you've got the persona or the image that you're displaying that is probably glad, right? Probably glad all the time. That's the emotion that you said was predominant. But there's this
strength and a weakness. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's this growing secret part of your life, right? That is part of that. So what happened moving into your 20s and beyond?
Yeah. So looking at my childhood, so that part was really hidden. And what I think I like to emphasize is our imagination is a wonderful thing. Our imagination is something that God has given us, but our imagination needs a baptism. We need to have a sacred imagination in the sense that God needs to be involved with our imagination. And growing up, that part of my life, the hidden part, God wasn't involved in it. And so moving into my later years towards college, basically that's what drew me into acting out sexually, sexual fantasy, masturbation, like chronic, like in the sense that like it would be a continual repetitive thing, and mistreatment of women, that sort of thing was fairly continual until things began to shift in my 20s. Though the one thing I would say with college is that someone And I still to this day don't know who set a copy of Mere Christianity on a dining hall table where I ate, and I read it, and I really began to re-engage with my story, but much more from a head perspective. Do I own this faith? Do I believe what I believe and what my parents taught me? And that sent me on this amazing journey where I wrote my senior thesis in college on C.S. Lewis and his space trilogy. Anyway, so that was sort of my teens and 20s up through college was really an engagement ultimately with my intellect. Whereas in my 20s, it shifted.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me just say as a sidebar, I'm impressed if you got through the third book of his trilogy, because that's where I lost. That's where I bailed out. I couldn't make it through the third book. So anyway, but C.S. Yeah. Lewis is one of those foundational guys, even in my own faith. And I think he has been for many in terms of, especially that Mere Christianity and some of his other works of just going, do we really understand what we believe? Do we know what we believe and why we believe it and why it's true? So I also want to ask, at what point did your wife enter the picture? Like what was going on relationally in your life in your 20s and 30s as well?
Yeah. So my wife showed up in my 30s. So I should say a little bit before 30, around the age of 30, but 20s was really, if I had to boil it down, it was a time where I switched the radio station, for those out there who know Howard Stern, switched from Howard Stern over to Chuck Smith and Calvary Chapel and their radio station. He is part of the Jesus Revolution and teaches through the Bible verse by verse. And that's really where I started a really deep journey of years of going through the entire Bible with Chuck Smith and acquiring a lot of knowledge, a lot of Bible knowledge. Additionally, like I eventually started to attend seminary with the idea that I would be involved with pastoral care, because I have a real desire to care for people. My strength or my gift is mercy, which leads more into the latter part of my story as well. But I didn't know that. But I was drawn to the idea of pastoral care, not necessarily being up in front of everybody and giving a message, but being one-on-one, visitation, the sick, the elderly. And then when I was in seminary, my wife's best friend was actually in class. She's married. She's in class scoping for guys for her, for my wife, who, you know, she's like, I need to find this guy, find her a husband, a good husband in seminary. And so all that to say is after about five classes, she sized me up and gave me this amazing sales pitch on my wife, Tina. And I was like, wow, you know, loves Jesus, swam in college, is beautiful, serves the youth at her church. Like, I'm like, who is this woman? I need to meet her. So we met. And that's another juncture in my story where things shifted pretty dramatically once we were married, not for the better.
So
we're still married by God's grace.
Yeah. So as you guys were building your relationship and maybe even, you know, during your courtship and then getting married, what was happening in kind of that secret self? What was happening in that part of you? And how much did she know about that history in your life before getting married?
Yeah. She knew very little of that secret self. So when we met, and I don't necessarily counsel men to do it the way we did it. God can do whatever he wants when people get married, but it was less than 6 months. Blind date, less than 6 months later, we were married. And so the learning curve was extremely steep. And I'd say there's two things that I didn't do that I needed to learn to do. And one was I did not share my emotions or my heart with my wife. I didn't know how to. And then two, I didn't share my inner life of sexual fantasy and the masturbation and the mistreatment of women and just what was going on in that whole realm with her. So it really hit the fan during our first year of marriage, where I found myself actually broken down on my knees in our apartment in San Diego, just sobbing uncontrollably, not sure how to fix the situation because, you know, in terms of being loved, we need to be known. And she didn't feel known. She didn't feel like she knew me. And in her defense, and justifiably, she would drive away at night, you know, like, I don't want to deal with this. And I just felt like this wall was blocking our relationship. Yeah.
And so what, you know, obviously, like you mentioned a minute ago, you guys are still married today. What did you guys do to navigate through that? And what were some of the things that you learned, not only for yourself in terms of dealing with, like you said, emotions and really being known, but what did you guys learn as a couple as well in terms of the relational components of those, of that healing?
Yeah. So one is communication is very, very important, but not just communication in the sense of like talking a lot or just information, but communication in the sense of sharing the whole self and sharing the heart, sharing our stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I would also say, like, being careful though, as a man, this is so what we agreed upon, which I don't necessarily recommend now, is brutal honesty. And this is something we can also delve into a little bit. But I would say too, like, there's a place to share the content, but not necessarily the gratuity or the specifics of my past or my relationships or my fantasies, and have a trusted either man or hopefully a group as well that you can share a lot of that with and still be honest, and that that your wife knows you're being cared for and that's being handled with a group that supports you, loves you, and I would say has maturity as well, spiritual maturity in Christ as well.
So what did that look like for you getting into relationships with other men like that? Because it sounds to me like prior to then, that wasn't something that was happening, at least on that level of secret Brett is coming into that environment.
Yeah. So this is, you know, I would encourage those people out there, each person has their unique journey in terms of how that plays out and just to be open to how God would do that story. But for me, I really did the first few years very much by myself with the Lord. And this is where I give credit to my wife, Tina, because she introduced me to time alone with God. She would journey out to this rock in East San Diego and open her journal, pray, share her heart with God, bring up major decisions in her life. And so this is where this is probably a good point to broach the three P's I like to talk about. It's how I remember things. I use the first letter of each word. It's helpful to remember. But and then I'll share about how guys began to be a part of the story as well. But what she taught me is that, and I taught myself too, and I began to look back at my relationship with God, and what I had learned is, I knew a lot about God, but I didn't have a relationship that was personal with God. So the first thing that I learned was the idea that God is present at all times. Like you and I are talking right now, the person listening, God is present. But like C.S. Lewis talks about, when we sin, in that moment, we're like an atheist. We're not an atheist, but we're like one because we don't sense, we're not aware of God's presence. So that was one of the single biggest factors. And if you want a Bible verse to connect with that or a foundational truth, Genesis 28:16, Jacob is in the desert, completely empty desert. And he has this dream, you know, of the ladder, and Jesus is actually ultimately there. Later, Jesus talks about it, but he shares and he says, he wakes up and he thought he was completely alone. And he says, you know, surely God is in this place and I did not know it. So I think learning to understand that God is present at all times and returning to that truth when we forget, because we all forget at times, I think was the first really foundational thing, was God's presence. The second was the idea that my heart had been so dammed up that when that leak first happened in our first year of marriage, it just was like, blah, you know, I just dumped the truck and I just couldn't stop crying. And I was a release of all of this pent up emotion and feeling. And emotions are, like I tell people, they're great for discerning, but they should never dictate your behaviors in your life. But they're great at discerning what's going on with the soul, and they're great for connecting you to another person and connecting you with God and connecting you with yourself. And so that one was poor. And I'll get through these and I can let you re-engage with your questions here, because I'm a strong P in the Myers-Briggs, so I can go all over the place. So you can keep me on track, Jonathan. But yeah, so the idea of pouring out, the verse to go with that is Psalm 62:8, which says, trust in him at all times, people. Pour out your heart to God, because God is our refuge or our bomb chamber. That's where we can just emote, express. It can be ugly. David did it all the time in the Psalms. And that's how we can experience his love. That's how we can experience the Spirit transforming us and adjusting us in those moments, so that when we do dump, we don't blah on our wife or blah on the people around us. God can handle it. And then the last P is the idea of pitch, hearing God's voice. My wife also was really good at this. And I learned from other men, and that's where we can transition, is God speaks to us. And he speaks to us, well, I'll just give you the verse first. John 10:27 says, my sheep know me and they follow me. They hear my voice. They know what I sound like. That's a paraphrase of John 10:27, but it's the idea that ultimately, we need to hear a word from God in our lives, and it can come in all different ways. And ultimately, I would say you just need to be careful about how you hear. And this is where we could talk a lot about that, but you need to make sure you filter it by God's word. You need to make sure that it is in keeping with the character of Christ, the heart of Jesus, the sacrificial love of Jesus. And then additionally, you need to make sure you check it with mature believers. So hopefully that segues into the idea of the men part, but yeah.
Yeah. And then, so obviously at this point in time, you and your wife realize there's got to be it's a pivot, right? I mean, you are going to have to, one is this allowed the opportunity for things to come to the surface that needed to come to the surface. You brought things into the light. What does it look like since then in terms of developing these key relationships with other men? And then how is that, what happened from that point forward in terms of just maybe even your own vocation when it comes to ministry?
Yeah. So God brought people, and God often does this when, if you're looking and if you're open, and that's what I would encourage people that are watching, is be on the lookout for where God's working, especially as it relates to the people around you. Because for a long time, for those of you who know movies, Lord of the Rings, Gandalf makes this statement, is it secret? Is it safe? You know, talking about the ring of power, you know, this bad thing that's hidden or whatever. But that's often what we're asking ourselves. But so from the point where my wife and I had this meltdown, it was several years of building back. And it was during those years that God led us into the Navigators, which is a one-on-one, wonderful discipleship-focused organization, which was right up my alley and really suited me. And so it was in that context that God began to bring mentors, older men. And I like to say, people, it's good to have a mentor, it's good to have a peer, and it's good to have a disciple. God brings different seasons, but those are good things to have and to look for. So these older men began to open up to them, which ultimately led me, it's a longer story, but led me from the collegiate ministry to the PRT, or what now is the TDC with the Navigators, which is basically their train, develop, care part of their organization. That part of that is pastoral care. And that's where I interned, or I did an apprenticeship, and really learned what it was to share my heart with the counselors, with the biblical counselors that are there. And it's still a process, but up to this point, that's the journey I've started on with these men that I would share different parts of my story with and receive counsel up through that time.
Now, at this point, how long have you and your wife been married?
18 years.
Okay. Yeah. And so as we kind of get close to wrapping up our time together, what have you been doing most recently in terms of taking all that God has done in you and now really being intentional about how you're discipling other men in their relationship with Christ? What are some of the things that you've really been doing just in the last couple of years?
Yeah. So if I had to distill it down, I'd say sharing my story and going first is really a huge thing. So not everybody's in a place to do that, but if you can go first and share the hard stuff first about your life, and especially as it relates to sexuality, which is oftentimes an area of shame or it's taboo or whatever, I would encourage people out there. That's what I do when I meet with a guy. I typically share my story first, and then they feel more freedom to share after that. And that's how I think God's Spirit processes a lot of what needs to be processed, is in the midst of that interaction or that interchange that happens. And obviously prayerfully, that's the kind of thing you want to be careful about and make sure you trust the people that you're sharing with. And then additionally, the other piece that I think is really important is there's two, and here's letters again for you, but there's two R's. We need to get right with God through Jesus, by faith in Jesus, and we need to have a relationship with him, a personal relationship with him, an interactive, daily, dynamic relationship with him. And that would be the other piece that I really focus on, because each person's unique. What I try to do is, and what I try to figure out with God's help, is how can I help them develop their own personal, unique relationship with God? And that might look like extended time with God. It might look like a prayer walk. It might look like music. It might look like certain friends. It might look like, you know, nature, sacred pathways, Gary Thomas kind of stuff. We're figuring out what ways you connect with God. But that is there's so many ways that can be facilitated. So, I mean, I could share more on that, but that's kind of the overview.
Yeah, well, this has been good. As we are wrapping up here, try to think about the guy out there that maybe he's at a place right now where he can really resonate with still living that double life, still having kind of that secret self. What would you want to say to him to really help him take his next best step towards being free and really being whole?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say that it's a step of faith where you do have to risk. And I would say that risk is completely, there is no risk with God who loves us and with Jesus. So I would say initially, I would work on confessing with and sharing with Jesus, because, you know, to give it another foundation, 1 John 3:20 is a really critical passage, I think, in understanding that even if our own heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything, the good, the bad, the horrible, the worst of the worst, and even worse than what we're aware of probably with our dark hearts without God. And so I would encourage them to share with Jesus and then ask him for courage to share with at least one other person and to look for a ministry like Be Broken. Or, you know, there's plenty of other ministries, but Be Broken is a wonderful ministry where the whole life gets treated. And it's a ministry where there's grace and not judgment. So that would be kind of my overview of that.
Well, Brett, this has been a great conversation. Where can our listeners go to maybe learn more about what you're doing or any resources that you would want to share with them?
Yeah, so I have a YouTube channel. It's, you know, not the most polished thing, but at Why Live Today, three words, WhyLiveToday. And that also you can, so that I have the YouTube channel, and then I also work with the Navigators as a ministry as well, where you can find me at navigators.org. And you can do a find staff. And if you put my name in, Brett Marshall, I'll pop up. And I'm here in San Diego at Camp Pendleton serving the Marine Corps.
Yeah, we'll be sure to put the YouTube channel and those links in there. But Brett, thanks again for being willing to share your story and come on with us today.
Yeah, I love your ministry and really glad to be able to offer this help.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we're going to post a lot of good links in the show notes to really help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ. That's what we're here to do. We want to walk alongside you in that journey. And we're always glad when you join us. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.